Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of learning how to deal with our emotions in a godly way, so that we don't allow our emotions to act in ways that are contrary to Scripture. We've covered a lot of ground these past few weeks, and we're taking 1 week here before we bring this to a conclusion to talk about anger at God. It fits from what we've been talking about over the past few weeks. When we lose someone or something we love, or we experience some type of disappointment, whether it be mild or major, we experience sorrow in the form of grief, regret, and even guilt. And we all tend to play the if only game. If only I hadn't have done this. If only I had done that, things would have turned out differently. Now, we've addressed in detail how that's not a profitable thing to do. But sometimes we turn the if only on God. If only God had not let this happen. If only God had done something different in the situation. That's an expression of anger at God. It's indirect anger at God. And it's because we think he's mishandled our circumstance somehow, or he should have done things differently. And we're talking about how to deal with that. Some people say, just let it out. It's natural. He understands. He does understand. And for a natural man, it is natural. But we're not natural anymore. We're supernatural. We're new creatures through our union with Christ. We've made the point that anger is a faith destroyer. You get mad at somebody that you think has done you wrong. You can't have faith or trust in someone you think has done you wrong. Anger at God will undermine your faith in God. Anger at God can make it easier to justify sin. After what God did or didn't do, I deserve to commit this sin. I've heard people say it and do it. And we made the point that what you feel is a result of what you think. You feel anger at God because of what you think about him. The Bible is clear that you never have a reason to be angry at God. Wouldn't it be better to correct the flawed thinking that led to the anger in the first place? And that's what we're working on. Now, we left off yesterday in John 11, where we see an example of anger at God. John 11 is where Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus and brother to Mary and Martha, becomes ill and dies. Now, the sisters sent word to Jesus while Lazarus was sick, but he didn't arrive until after Lazarus was dead. When Jesus finally arrived, both women, Mary and Martha, greeted him with the same statement, "If only you had been here sooner, our brother would not have died." They were indirectly blaming Jesus for Lazarus' death, implying that he had mishandled the situation. I told you yesterday, if we had a map in front of us, there's enough detail given in the scripture, I could show you where Jesus was when he got the message and where Lazarus was, and you would see that it was actually too far for Jesus to get there before Lazarus died. But this is the main point. Lazarus didn't die because Jesus wasn't there. He died because that's life in a sin-cursed earth. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, the curse of death entered the world and the human race. All men die because of Adam's sin. When your loved one dies, or if you have a loved one who has died, and you feel that anger at God, this is where a change in your thinking can help you. Your loved one died, my loved ones died, because that's life in a sin-cursed earth. When Adam sinned, he unleashed the curse of death in the earth and in the human race. All men die because of what Adam did. And see, the thing is, even though God, Jesus, raised Lazarus from the dead here in John 11, Lazarus died again. And so did Martha and Mary. And not only is your loved one dead, but you're going to die. Not only are my loved ones dead, I'm going to die. Death is the last enemy to be put underfoot. We need to keep these things in perspective. I'm not minimizing your loss nor my loss. I've had significant loss in the past 10 years of people I love. But it's a temporary loss. I will see them again. Didn't take away the pain and the sorrow, but it helped me get through it. And I didn't get mad at God because I know he has provided a solution. Let me get back to the outline. It's already Wednesday. Now, we left off yesterday. We wanted to clear up a common misinterpretation of what happened here to Lazarus. Sometimes people say, they use this incident to say that God is glorified in sickness. They quote verse 4 here. Let me read it, John 11:4. When Jesus heard that, in context, he heard that Lazarus was sick, he said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby," or the Son of God might be glorified thereby. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." I've had people tell me their sickness glorifies God, and that's why God is not healing them, because God is glorified in sickness. They're sincere when they say it, but with all due respect, that is incorrect. I challenge you, read through the Gospels, and you will see over and over that God is glorified not in sickness, but when healing comes. I read a few verses yesterday. I'm looking at a long list here. I don't have time to read it, but you can do that. Next time you read through the Gospels, look and see. God is glorified when the healing comes, not when the person is sick, but when the healing comes. Now, you may be thinking, yeah, but this verse says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." I made the point yesterday, you have to understand a basic rule of Bible interpretation. When one verse seems to contradict a number of others, don't throw out the 10 that say one thing clearly in favor of one that seems to contradict. I've got 10 verses right here that say God is glorified when healing comes. I know I haven't read them, but you can look them up. And then we have this one verse that seems to say God is glorified in sickness. Don't throw the 10 out. Assume you don't have understanding of the one that appears to contradict. Now, having said that, this verse is not difficult to understand if you read the whole story. Because how did the story turn out? It did not end in death, because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Let me read this out of the New International Version, the NIV. It says, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so God's Son may be glorified through it." In other words, at the very beginning, Jesus said the end result of Lazarus' sickness will not be death. The end result will be that I am glorified, or I am honored. Now, as we read the chapter, I don't have time to read it. You'll have to read it to see if I'm telling the truth. But as we read the chapter, we see that there was no glory for Jesus while Lazarus was sick or while he was dead. In fact, his disciples thought Jesus' handling of the sickness was a mistake. If we read verses 8 through 16, while he and his disciples discuss what to do, his disciples say unto him, verse 7, Jesus gets the message, Lazarus is sick. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And his disciples said unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest there again thither?" He says, "Okay, let's go to Lazarus." And the disciples go, "Are you crazy? Last time we were there, they were going to stone you to death." And then Jesus says, "These things said he unto them. After that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he's asleep, he doeth well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, He's dead. Then Jesus says to him, I'm going to go wake him out of sleep. I know he's going to die before I get there, but I'm going to raise him from the dead." And the disciples are thinking, what's the matter with this guy? He thinks Lazarus is dead, or is just sleeping. Didn't he hear the message? The guy's really sick. He's on the verge of death. They're not glorifying Jesus. They're questioning his handling of the situation. Then, when Jesus finally gets there, we read it yesterday, Martha and Mary question his handling of things. "Lord, if you had only been here, he wouldn't have died." And then others, this is verse 37, and some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man that he should not have died?" They're questioning him. There's no glory for Jesus. And then, right before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to them that they had not yet seen the glory of God. Let me read verse 40. "Jesus saith unto her, Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, you would see the glory of God?" nobody's seen the glory of God yet, but he's telling her, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. But then, so he raises Lazarus, and we go into the, let me drop down to verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Raising Lazarus from the dead led some people to believe on him who had not up until that time. Then we go into chapter 12, and we find out there's a dinner with Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and Jesus. Much of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. They came not for to hear Jesus only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. In other words, people were drawn to Jesus because of the resurrection, not because of the sickness. Because Lazarus was raised, not because he was sick. Now, before we get back to Martha and Mary, we need to discuss where anger at God comes from. Anger at God comes from a lack of knowledge of what God is like. Many wrongly believe that God is behind or approving of life's trials and hardships. God is never the source of your troubles, directly or indirectly. God is good, and good means good. Now, I wrote a whole book to explain every question that gets raised when somebody like me makes a statement like that. You can call us and order it. You can go to the website and order it. It's called God is Good and Good Means Good. God is never the source of your troubles, either directly or indirectly. But let me give you one point here as we near the end of the broadcast. Jesus, who is God and shows us God, never caused or allowed a sickness, a trial, a test, or a calamity in anyone's life during his years on this earth. Therefore, we know that God the Father does not do so, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I do his works and speak his words by his power in me. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. Jesus said, your heavenly Father is better than the best earthly father. If you, being evil or natural, know how to give good things to your kids, how much more your Father in heaven? In other words, Jesus, who is God incarnate, who is God and shows us God, never was the source of anybody's troubles. So we know that God is never the source of your trouble, either directly or indirectly. Jesus authorized us to understand him in terms of a good father. What good father would make his child sick to teach him a lesson? If you wouldn't do it to your kid, God won't do it to you. Got a lot more to talk about tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.